Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to go to chapter 2. And I know that we're on a journey through the New Testament, but we're going to take a little detour here today and read some familiar Christmas scripture. As chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 21. As a matter of fact, this isn't planned, but I'm going to call on my friend Greg to come up here and read the scripture for us, because I just cannot do that. If you want to use my Bible or your own, Greg, either one is fine with me.
I'll use yours.
Okay. Let's see. And we're going to read verses 21 through 38. Is that 21?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, 21 through 38. And if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Thank you, Greg, for reading that for us.
On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, so you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce you in your soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about this child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Welcome.
Thank you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we pray a blessing upon this scripture reading, and we want the scripture to mold us and direct us into more of your truth. We want to become more Christ-like, and we want to know more about your word. So I pray that blessing upon that reading, the scripture, and I pray that this message that I'm about to deliver will be pleasing to you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. So here we are in the Christmas season. And I know that a lot of churches are putting on plays and dramas and Christmas pageants and things like that. And if you went to one of them, what would you expect to see? Well, you'd expect to see the usual things, right? There's always Mary and Joseph, and there's the baby Jesus, and there's the manger scene and things like that. Or maybe you take it a little bit further and you see the shepherds, you know, hearing the angels singing glory to God in the highest, and their visit to the child Jesus, and just like the angel had said, there he was, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Or maybe it's the Magi coming from the east to deliver the gifts, in which we get the tradition of Christmas, giving gifts to children and to each other. Or maybe we'll look at it from the bad side. We look at it from, you know, King Herod. He wanted to kill all the baby boys 2 years of age and under, and that was not a very good part about the Christmas story, but we do read those parts of the scripture in what we would call the Christmas story. Or maybe we think about Mary getting that angelic visit from Gabriel and saying, Mary, you're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world, and the surprise that she must have had and the excitement. Or maybe the opposite for Joseph. He got similar visits, and he had to deal with this new role that he was going to be in. He's going to have this new role, and this new role includes a new wife, and it includes a child that he didn't father, and how is all that going to be explained, and things like that. Maybe that's portrayed in the plays or whatever that you might see. Or maybe it's that nasty old innkeeper, you know, the one who said, there's no more room in the inn. We just have no room for you here, Mary and Joseph. You're going to have your baby somewhere else. Those are all very common Christmas stories that we hear all the time, and we see scenes, or maybe we see plays or even TV programs about. But how often do we see events about these two people and what we read here this morning? How often do you see a Christmas play about Simeon, or a Christmas play about Anna, the prophetess? Well, I'm going to talk about these verses, and actually I'm going to talk about them quickly, and we're going to kind of do it in reverse order here today. I'm going to start off by talking about Anna. And she shows up in verses 36 through 38. I consider her part of the Christmas story because that's all part of the birth of Jesus. Well, what is it about Anna? What is she? Well, the Bible says she's a prophetess, so she must have had some kind of direct contact with God. We know that she was very old. She was 84 years old. It says that she never left the temple, and it said that she prayed night and day, and she fasted night and day. Obviously, a very, very special and holy woman. But that day, when she saw the baby Jesus, she immediately recognized him as the redemption of Jerusalem. And when she did, and when she stated that, that was her testimony as to who this baby really was and is. That this child would not only redeem Jerusalem, but it would redeem anyone in the entire world who would believe in his name. That was her testimony. That's what she went away from there telling. Then we see Simeon, this man. We find him in verses 25 through 35. What does it say about him? It says that he was righteous and devout. It said that the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would see the Christ before he died. Now, Simeon had no idea who the Christ would be. But when he saw the baby Jesus, he immediately recognized him as the Lord's Christ. And that was his testimony as to who this baby really is. It says that he had seen the salvation of the Lord, and this child would be a revelation to the Gentiles and glory to the people of Israel. Both Anna and Simeon, their testimony, both of them, was that this child was the Christ. You know, I often wonder in my sanctified imagination, how long after these encounters that Anna and Simeon had with this child, how long after that did they live? I often wonder, did they pass away like the next day, the next week, or 10 years later? You really don't know. But it'd be interesting to know how long after that that they lived. But they lived long enough to have a testimony. And I find it interesting that these two accounts are written here in our Bible. And we could give many good reasons why these accounts are written in our Bibles. But I'm going to suggest a little bit of a different one here this morning. And to explain my point, I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. And it says this. It says, a matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now that what I just read from Deuteronomy 19, 15, it was part of the Mosaic Law. And it was used often in the Bible. You can find many different examples of when they used that. And I'm sure it was used regularly by Jewish people. So here in Luke chapter 2, let's apply that, Deuteronomy 19:15, to what we just read right here. I'll read it again. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So let's answer a couple questions. What is the matter that is in question here? The matter is this. Who is this child? Or as we would say today and sing today, which we will hear in a little bit, what child is this? So that's the matter. Who is this child? The two witnesses. It must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Who are the witnesses? We have ourselves Anna, and we have ourselves Simeon. They are the two witnesses. And what is their testimony? Their testimony establishes the fact, we just read it, establishes the fact that this child is the Christ. He is the redemption of Jerusalem. He is the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to the people of Israel. And all this was revealed to these two people, Anna and Simeon, by God Himself. That is their testimony. And I'm sure it was amazing when Mary and Joseph heard this. Oh, they had been told earlier by the angel of who this child was. But isn't it good to hear that be established by the testimony of these other two witnesses, by Anna and by Simeon? So I have to ask each and every one of us in here this morning the same question. Do you believe their testimony? Do you believe their testimony that this little baby, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Christ? That this little baby, this Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, is the Savior of the world? Let's back up a couple more verses. Why were Mary and Joseph there at the temple that particular day? I'm going to give you two reasons. One, and the Bible tells us both these reasons. One was that Mary had to fulfill her purification obligations according to the law after giving birth. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 12, it says this. It says, a woman would be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, 14 if it was a girl, baby girl, after the birth of a son. 7 days after the birth of a son, 14 days after the birth of a daughter. The woman must then wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding, if it was a son. 66 days, double that if it was a daughter. Well, when these days were over, she was to bring to the priest at the temple a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a dove for a sin offering. I find it amazing that she was to bring a lamb to the temple. She might not have had an animal lamb, but she certainly had a lamb right here, didn't she? Right here in her arms. The child that she delivered would soon deliver her. Well, that was the first reason why they were there at the temple that day. The second reason was this. They were at the temple because they were to present the child to the Lord. According to Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, every firstborn male had to be consecrated to the Lord. That was what the law required. The child had to be consecrated to the Lord. Well, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that we just take the baby to the temple and then somebody else raises that child? No, certainly not. It doesn't mean that. In its most basic and simplistic form, it means that you would take your firstborn male child and devote his life to the Lord, to God. It's as if you were saying to God something like this. This child is yours, Lord. Do with this child whatever you will. Whatever way you want this child to honor you, to glorify you, and to serve you. I'm giving you this child to do that. Well, this morning, we have kind of a similar situation. I'm going to kind of put this over here. And I'm going to kind of come over here. I think we have a child in our midst here this morning, don't we? And at this time, I would like to invite Jacob and Amber to come on up with baby Christian Blaze and the family, any family members, moms, dads, grandmas, grandparents, nieces, nephews. Come on forward. And we are going to have ourselves a baby dedication here this morning. Yes, and if you want to take pictures on your iPhones or cameras or whatever, or record it, that's certainly fine with me here this morning. So we have ourselves a baby dedication here this morning. Now, I want to say this to the congregation, as I'll say it to you. There is nothing in the Christian faith that says that babies need to be dedicated. So it's not like we live by the Mosaic law that says you must consecrate your firstborn male. But this young couple, Jacob and Amber, have decided to do that here this morning. They have decided that they want to dedicate this child, Christian Blaze, to the Lord here this morning. Very symbolic of what was done here in the past. But certainly, again, not by obligation, but by choice. And they have told me, and they are now telling this congregation, that they want to dedicate this child to the Lord. Linda, you said it very well earlier, that there are a lot of couples who have children, and children are a good thing. But there's a certain way children need to be raised. Train a child in the way he should be, and in the end, he won't what? Depart from it. I believe the two of you are going to do just that. And here's the thing, and the reason I use the word testimony here today is this. You are going to do something in front of this congregation here today, and we are all witnesses as to what the two of you are about to do. That means as witnesses, hey, there's two or more of us here today, right?
Yeah.
That we now have a testimony as to what this young couple is doing for this child. That means this. I think we know which direction you're going to go. But this congregation and this family that's standing up here, we all have an obligation to hold this couple accountable, don't we? In the raising of this child in the Lord. So, before I do this vow thing, may I hold your child?
I'm not going to wake him up, Anna.
It's okay.
It's all right.
This child's going to be presented to the Lord by his parents.
Christian, dip it inside. How are you? You getting hungry? So am I.
He smells the food. You can't see
me. One of these days, you're going to love fried chicken. He's wide awake now. I'm going to give it back to his parents. Jacob, remember?
About a year ago, in October of 2013, I had the pleasure of doing a wedding service for this young couple. And in that service, they took vows. And one of the things I found on the internet was, we're going to do the same thing. I'm going to have the two of you take vows again here this morning in front of these witnesses. And I have the vows right here on this plaque, which I will give to you once this is over. And I would like the young couple, Jacob and Amber, to repeat after me. Sort of like a wedding again, isn't it? Just a little different atmosphere and flavor this year. You were only two a year ago, weren't you?
Yeah.
Now we're three. And who knows where you're going to be next year, right?
Three.
But whatever happened to that quiver full of arrows that they were talking about? Jacob and Amber, I would like the two of you to repeat after me as you dedicate this child, Christian Blaze, to the Lord. Lord, we dedicate this child to you.
We dedicate this child to you.
Knowing there can be no better gift.
Knowing there can be no better gift.
Than living in your grace.
Than living in your grace.
Resting in your love.
Resting in your love.
Walking in your ways.
Walking in your ways.
In the joy of your presence.
In the joy of your presence.
On this special day.
On this special day.
We humbly seek your blessing.
We humbly seek your blessing.
Your wisdom.
Your wisdom.
Your guidance.
Your guidance.
Your peace.
Your peace.
Lord.
Lord.
You have placed this precious life.
You have placed this precious life.
Into our loving arms.
Into our loving arms.
Now that with all our faith.
Now that with all our faith.
And trust.
And trust.
Our strength and love.
Our strength and love.
We dedicate this child to you.
We dedicate this child to you.
Given to the parents of Christian Blaze Lipscomb, who was dedicated 12/14/14 at Beech Grove Christian Church.
Thank you, Pastor Mike.
Aren't they a wonderful couple and family? So you have grandparents and nieces and nephews and cousins and everybody else here. Anything that you would like to tell the congregation about this dedication here this morning?
I just want to thank everybody for being there for us in our Christian walk and our journey. Linda, I appreciate what you said, but we don't deserve any of the praise. We're terrible sinners, and to be honest with you, I speak for both of us when I say that, you know, every day we wonder why in the world God would even choose to save us. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate it, but really, without you guys, we wouldn't be able to be standing up here and dedicating them today.
I think what you see in front of us here today is a testimony to, first of all, the power of God, the power of God, and to families who care about families. And by golly, I know that there's a lot of families who care about families represented here today, and that's a great thing. But the world needs more people like this. Amen. They do. Well, Lipscomb family, the Christie family, we are proud of each and every one of you, and thank you for allowing me to hold your baby. And the baby, we are witnesses, amen, congregation,
amen,
to what this family has now done. We have dedicated this child to the Lord, and we're going to hold them accountable. And someday, that young man just might be standing right here and preaching to somebody else, and that would be a good thing. Amen.